Analysts have called the current state capture claims and prosecution of Finance Minister Pravin Gordhan as perhaps the biggest crisis since the advent of democracy to be faced by the ANC. Several ANC leaders, including its chief whip, has also spoken out and even called for the party's leadership to resign. On Sunday, party treasurer General William Kizi called on the ruling party to strengthen its resolve to rid its ranks of corrupt people. We discuss the ANC and where the people find itself at the moment with political analyst Karima Brown. Karima, good morning to you and welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me. Good morning to your listeners.
Thank you for joining us. Is this the biggest crisis the ANC has faced since the dawn of our democracy?
Indeed, I think it is. There are several factors that indicate this. One, of course, is the results of the recent municipal elections, which indicated that the black middle class and urban working poor rejected the ANC in large numbers. And I think that for the first time since the breakthrough in 1994, the African National Congress's own research indicated that South Africans, traditionally ANC supporters, counted on as a sure thing, have in fact reached a point where they are saying enough is enough. And within that context, the reasons for the rejection of the African National Congress by voters include in large measure, again according to internal data from the ANC, the way in which the party is dealing with critical issues around the integrity of state institutions, corruption in and outside of government within its ranks, but also just the influence of money within the political process in the party itself. And then, of course, the last reason why I think this is a major or the most important fault line, certainly since the advent of our democracy and since the removal of former President Thabo Mbeki, is because of the increasing number of voices that are saying that state institutions are being used for narrow political aims and are being used to settle political scores. Now, when you put dye in the water and you cannot tell a truth from a lie, and the genesis of that, we know, of course, started way back with Bulelani Ngcuka, who went before the nation and said he had a prima facie case against the then Deputy President Jacob Zuma, but decided not to prosecute. When that door was opened, we couldn't close it anymore. And when one cannot distinguish a truth from a lie, what you have is the building block, sadly, for a failed state. So yes, I do believe that this is a fundamental crisis, and we are indeed in a very, very, dangerous, fluid and dynamic political setup.
What is happening behind closed doors? There have been calls for the ANC leadership to resign. There are the reports of pro-Zuma, anti-Zuma groups. How do you see it?
Well, I think what is very clear is that the organization is in fact divided. I have on other platforms talked about the existence of what I term an alternative center. And evidence of this alternative center points to the fact that in critical decisions, even whilst the president legally has an has the prerogative to make decisions like, for example, appoint cabinet ministers, this president in particular always prided himself, unlike his predecessor, with wide consultation processes. But of late, and as we saw the growing influence of families like the Guptas, you see the president announcing very important decisions of state in a very unusual fashion, a departure from how he traditionally does things. Let's cast our eye back, for example, to how the Minister for Minerals was announced. 9 o'clock at night, 2-paragraph statement, very few people aware. the removal of Mhlanhla Nene from the finance ministry, the appointment for 4 days of Gert van Rooyen, the switch around, the reappointment of Pravin Gordhan, a former finance minister, again, creates, or not creates, in fact, the minister in the presidency, Jeff Hadebe, when he did a cabinet briefing, told journalists openly that the day before in the cabinet meeting, the president had made absolutely no mention of the matter. And so increasingly there seems to be indications that that political center and traditional power structures through which the ANC managed its affairs and through which the party related its decisions and its wishes to the government, those structures are very weak. We've also seen the alliance, for example, complaining about the lack of bilateral meetings. The political council, which is a forum that brings the ANC and its left allies together, their meetings have been very patchy. There's been talk that, you know, the ANC top officials themselves often don't communicate with each other. Just, I think, 2 days ago, Gwede Mantashe indicated that the story in the Sunday Times, which puts Sean Abrams, the head of the NPA, at Lithuli House in a meeting with the president and two ministers, was not, in fact, a meeting of the ANC officials or an official ANC meeting. Now, that level of division indicates that decisions are being made elsewhere. If you look at the January 8th statement, traditionally read by the president but formulated and gotten input from the National Executive Committee, the highest decision-making body of the movement, in between conferences, the president sticks to the script. When he does 2 television interviews, or 3 rather, with ENCA, with the SABC, with ANN7, goes completely off script, tells us what he really thinks, lays into his critics, goes off the script. So we're talking about an incredibly divided organization from the top down, and of course now with people taking up position around coming out in support for Finance Minister Pravin Gordhan. We've had, I think, about 10, if I'm not mistaken, NEC stroke cabinet ministers, premiers coming out and saying they've got full confidence, obviously starting with the premier of this province, David Makura, because on the day that the finance minister was charged, the premier was in fact hosting a conference dealing with the issue of corruption. He was promoting the open tender system, and Finance Minister Pravin Gordhan was right there. And as Sean Abrams announced his dramatic decision, the premier of the economic powerhouse of the country immediately came forward and said, well, he supports, you know, the finance minister. And then, of course, we've had the pro-Zuma elements, like your ANC Youth League leader, Colin Maine, the ANC Women's League leader, Batabile Dlamini, and, of course, the MKVA veterans via Kebi coming out and backing, you know, for President Jacob Zuma. So very divided organization. But what is interesting is, of course, the shifting sands and what influences how people see those, you know, moves and what drives the decision. I think since the loss of the metros, many ANC leaders are beginning to look at what the party's chances are for holding on to power in 2019. And I think that increasingly will become the driver for how the factions in the ANC actually stack up.
Yes, a number of things for us to chew on in those comments that you did make. Karima, thank you very much for your time this morning on Radio Islam.
My pleasure. Thanks.
Have a lovely day. Bye.
Okay, then. Bye-bye.
That is Karima Bahraun speaking to us about the issues that have really plague the ANC, the challenges that the ANC is currently experiencing, a really, really tough time, and they need to reassess, realign, and chalk out a new path for themselves.